Now, at this point, there comes a very interesting story. I'm afraid with this story we must close for this week. And this story brings us to our fourth religious king. And this was Yeshe Er, who was the king of Western Tibet in the 11th century. Tibet had split up into a number of different principalities, and he was king of Western Tibet. And he did very much within the limits, within the confines of his own kingdom. He did very much for the revival and the propagation of Buddhism. In fact, he took the step of himself becoming a monk. There's no time for details. We're concerned just at the moment with the last phase of his career. He wanted to bring this great teacher, Atisha, from India to Tibet, and this was going to cost a lot of money, and he was therefore out on an expedition to collect gold from his subjects for the purpose of bringing Atisha to Tibet. Now, while he was on this expedition collecting gold, he unfortunately was captured by a neighboring Muslim king. And Muslims are not usually so tolerant, I'm afraid, as the Buddhists are. So this Muslim king gave him a choice. He said, either you must become a Muslim, or you must be ransomed with your own weight in gold. So the king had a nephew who was very devoted to him. He had no son, but he had a nephew. And this nephew resolved to collect as much gold as he possibly could, to collect gold equal in weight to the weight of the king, and to ransom his uncle. So for months, in fact for years, he was collecting this gold while his uncle was in captivity. And he collected quite a large quantity. But as you can appreciate, even in a gold-bearing country like Tibet, to collect enough gold to weigh against the weight of a man isn't very easy. So with all his efforts, all that he could do was to collect enough gold to weigh against the body, but not against the head. There's nothing left for the head. So what happened? He had an interview with his uncle in captivity, in a dungeon, where he'd been kept all those years. And he said, look, I've got enough gold for your body, I haven't got enough for the head. What shall I do? If you like, I'll make a last desperate effort in trying to get it all together. But what did the king say? The king said, I'm now a very old man. And he said, I've not yet had the opportunity of sacrificing my life for Buddhism. So he said, don't bother about me anymore. Don't bother to collect any more gold, equivalent to the weight of my head. The gold that you have collected, don't give it to these people. He said, never mind what happens to me. You use it for bringing Atisha to Tibet. This is what he said to his nephew. So this, in fact, what was done. When the Muslim king realized that no gold was going to be forthcoming, then the king of Western Tibet was just murdered in prison. That was the end of him. But Atisha, the great teacher, the greatest teacher of his time in India, he was invited to Tibet. And there he stayed for a long time. In fact, he died in Tibet, and he accomplished a very great work indeed. To begin with, he reformed the monastic discipline. He purified the practice of the tantras. He laid the foundations for the Kadamba school. And he wrote a number of works for the special instruction of the Tibetans. In fact, he labored long and he labored hard. Well, one could go on from this point. One could say a very great deal more. One could go on to speak of Marpa and Milarepa, who lived just a very short time afterwards, who were the co-founders of the Kagyupa school. One could go on to speak of Concho Gyepa Kon, the founder of the Sakyapa school, all of whom lived in this same 11th century. But perhaps I've said enough for today, enough for this week, enough to show, however briefly and however inadequately, how Buddhism finally after so many struggles, after so many ups and downs, after so many reverses and successes and again reverses and again successes, finally came to Tibet.